Hey, yo, what's good? Welcome to Reflections of a DJ, the Road Podcast, presented by DJ City and BeatSource. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Crooked. We got Jamie the Great here.
Yep.
We got a special guest host. We have the amazing Spider Tech in the building.
Yeah, what up?
And big shout to DJ Never, Never Forever. And we have a guest. We've had him on before. This was like during the pandemic, and it was through Zoom. But this is like the first time we, you know, kind of been recording together in person.
Yeah.
Me and this DJ, we've had multiple interactions on Twitter.
Twitter exchange. You know,
some agreeable, some disagreeable. You know what I'm saying?
And always friendly. At the
and we recently hung out in L.A. And
he always hung out.
Yeah. He was showing me parts of L.A. and different parties and stuff, and we had a good time. And But I'm very happy to have you here, man. You're one of my favorite DJs, and you know, despite some of the things I may disagree with you with on Twitter, I do love the shit that you bring up on Twitter. We have DJ Artistic in the building. What's good?
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Appreciate you for having me.
What's up? What's good, man? Vegas. You're very rare. Not very rare, but not very often that you're in Vegas, right?
So yeah, usually I'm in Vegas for more so private events. I'm out here doing like a Black Executive Convention going on called ELC. So out here for a couple of nights. Then I head to Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe has a Black Ski Weekend going on. So,
wow. Okay. Yeah. Nice. So that's good. Yeah. You've been doing a lot of private events.
Yeah. There's been a lot of private, whether it's entertainment, whether it's sports, corporate, because that's where the real bag is at. It's like the club is fun. The club is promotion to me. It's like I want to do the club just to kind of stay out there a little bit, just to kind of meet new people and, you know, kind of tap into new scenes. But the club is never going to be my bread and butter, like 100%.
It's a different perspective now than it was maybe 3 to 5 years ago, right?
I would say probably like even 7, 8 years ago, because L.A. is just different. L.A. is not really a club city for my lane, I would say. For me, it's more so like parties. It's the monthly parties. It's the day parties. It's the brunches. But the club where you know you're going to be here every Friday, Saturday is different in L.A.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. It's different now, but like the conversation we had.
As far as the conversation,
I remember our conversation on Zoom, like maybe in 2020. Your perspective on the club scene, I mean, probably that was up till like 2019 in L.A. was very different. You're just kind of like, how do I get into the scene? How do I get into clubs? And now it's like, it's not even that necessary now.
It's not.
It's like a lot of shit has changed. Like you said, there's not really a weekly club thing. I mean, there is like industry parties and there is like, you know, still bottle service hip hop parties going on, but it's just not the same. Like even when we think about it now, I was talking to somebody about mega clubs or just like clubs in general in LA. And it's just really like Highlight Room.
Nightingale, right?
It's still Nightingale is temporarily closed, so it's high. You still have the spots like Ballet, like Dragonfly, but aside from those, when it's like hip hop, it's
Poppy as well.
You have the Poppy, have Poppy. True. You have Bootsy Bello, so you still have a couple, but it's different. Like to me, the club is almost like an exclusive club. Like 10, 12 years ago, somebody come to LA is like, where should we go?
Like
if it's
Playhouse.
Tuesday, Tuesday is supper club, Friday is Playhouse, you know, it was you knew. Now if you ask the average person, they're like, I heard of Dragonfly. I heard of this and that. But if you're not in that specific scene, you don't even care about it.
What does that mean? What do you think is happening in the city? Like,
it's just a lot of factors. I feel like just looking back, because it to me, the whole bottle service thing really started around heavy around 2009 and 2010 when it was like Wonderland. You had even the White Lotus / Ritual / whatever.
Yeah,
My House era.
But a lot of that shit was influenced by Live, like Sunday nights at Live. I feel
probably
like
was and, coming yeah, from and, that and, Miami yeah. influence. Yeah.
It was like that the hip hop Sunday nights at Live, and then it started like LA started being like, yo, we could do that shit, and then the music started shifting over there as well.
It did. I feel like the peak of like at least for the hip hop Hollywood club scene was, I'm gonna say 2011 to like 15. That's when it was Greystone Sundays. It was Supper Club Tuesday, so it was always Orator, Martha Spot, DJ BAD doing most of those spots. Even Crown Bar was popping for a minute on Fridays back then. Like you had that scene, but then 2017, 18, it just started to change. And I feel like it got so exclusive and so different and segmented that then the average person is not even trying to get in, because it's like it goes from I might be able to get in to I can't get in to I don't want to get in. It changed. Now it's like when you do go to these clubs, it'll have all this hype and you get there and it's like, it's boring. Like most of them spots that you go to, I'll still DJ them sometimes because they'll hit me up. Funny enough, one spot we mentioned last time, wink, wink, they hit me up talking about, you know, we might want you on. I'm like, I went just to check it out and I'm like, it's boring. I don't want to do it. It's not for me.
Do you think the transplant, like all these people coming in 2017, 2018, you think that changed the landscape of LA nightlife for the most part?
It's always been transplant. I mean, even going back to like the 70s, just LA's always been a heavy transplant entertainment place. But I feel like I think it's a combination of everything from real estate, because even when it comes to just the size of clubs, like even supper club.
Even the way they were doing the floor, because they started making the couches and everything bigger than the dance floors.
Exactly.
And that was like a LA thing they were like really doing.
And, you know, as we're talking about these bottle service nightclubs, you know, there's always going to be like three or four of them that are kind of like steadily killing it.
All the time.
But it's not as oversaturated as it is, because right now DJ curated parties are more like, you know what I'm saying? Like DJ curated parties are taking over in almost every city.
I do want to ask one thing, because I feel like once the nightlife died down, I would say about like 2015, I was noticing you and a bunch of the LA DJs were doing more of your own parties and doing that.
Well, you guys had to.
Like, yeah.
You had to, right?
It was like,
because they weren't letting you in. Right.
Basically, it was like, it was a combination of us having to do it, but then our crowds didn't like that either. Because, like, the same way I mentioned it before, it's like these clubs are so exclusive where, like, at this point, it's hella Instagram driven. So it's all IG models, all dope boys, all celebrities. And it's like, it's just not for any of my following or any of my friends and folks. So it's like, it makes more sense. Let's go to this spot and throw our own party. It might be once a month. It might be quarterly, but it just makes a lot more sense that way, too, even musically. Yeah.
Well, it's like you're not trying to make everyone dance. You're literally trying to please certain tables.
Right.
Tables, literally.
Like, yo, this motherfucker's from this place. Or like, yo, Detroit rap is hitting right now. Everyone, so we're going to go heavy on this. But it's not like everyone's not really.
It's not cohesive.
And what I've noticed is that in these LA bottle service parties, everyone that's there has an agenda to do some type of transactional business with somebody at the table. You know what I'm saying?
Even the
girls aren't even there to have fun. They're there for like every person in that club has an agenda.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to come up in some way. I remember like, it's just like very weird.
And something I noticed about your following, because I'm, you know, like we've been cool, man, since like OK Early. Player days.
OK, before Serato Forums type. Yeah.
So like seeing your following actually wants to come dance.
Right.
They actually want to come enjoy themselves. Yeah. And that's something I don't really, you know, I see people that I follow DJs, you know, they want to come out to their parties or come out to wherever. But like your people specifically want to dance.
They're trying to enjoy themselves. Like they work hard. They want to play hard. And it's like it's not about the scene. It's not about I have to be around these celebrities and this and that. It's more so about let's have a good time.
Yeah. And there's also a wider range of music that you guys can play. So it's actually kind of interesting to see all the changes that you went through in your career over the last 3 or 4 years. How much, I mean, you're doing like, you did All-Star Weekend, right?
All-Star Weekend. In Indy. So
you're slowly becoming the go-to DJ for like, you know, any type of like Black Hollywood or just any type of hip-hop R&B related event. Like, that's in demand for that, which is good.
I appreciate you. That's the goal. I feel like somebody jokingly called me the millennial D Nice, and I was laughing, but it's like, I was like, that's, they said it. I was laughing at it, but I was like, I mean, if I can become that, because it's similar. It's like D Nice, you know, he's repping for that Gen X, like whether it's the hip hop, whether it's the 70s soul.
Right.
For me, it's the same thing, whether it's the HBCU era, whether it's the West Coast era, whatever it is for our age group. Throwing a couple from the 90s in there too. So.
Yeah. That's great. But I mean, that's what you want, right?
That's the goal for sure.
I mean,
you stay current with your selections too.
Still staying current. Like, it's not just all throwbacks. So it's like it's always about staying current, even though it might only be 10 new songs per year that really hit hard.
Yeah,
I'm gonna learn those 10 songs though.
If you're not rushing to like download the new songs when they drop nowadays, I feel like nowadays
you do, surprisingly.
You do?
Yeah.
I feel like it's
still. Do they work though? That's the question.
Well, I think it takes like a good like 3 to 6 weeks or longer for like songs to hit now.
It's tricky. Every song is different. So for LA specifically,
yeah,
an LA song that sounds LA that bangs is gonna work the first day. Mm. Like say if it's a Chef Boy, if it's like a if it's a Lil Vader, if it's even a Blast type song, if it feels LA, sounds LA, and I have an LA crowd, it'll hit that first day. Now, trap songs are different because like LA is not a trap city. Our tempo just does not naturally go with the 75 BPM the same way.
Y'all motherfuckers really stay in the 90 to
95, 102.
90, 105
that
pocket.
That mustard. Elbows up. I always say elbows up because as soon as that beat comes in, it has a certain feel to it. So
LA was like one of the few cities they do an hour and a half to 2 hours and just stay in that 90 to like 105.
Sometimes 4 hours.
Sometimes the whole night.
Sometimes, because even Afrobeats is still right there. So you can go Afrobeats, 2000s R&B, yeah. LA, mm-hmm. even throwback East Coast can work good because it's all in the same pocket.
Actually, I got a question.
Yeah.
Because you do download a lot of current music.
Yeah.
And you do play a lot of things, but I wanted to ask specifically if you test certain records at the Dime on your Monday nights.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of your testing goes?
I do a lot of testing there, and the thing is, because the Dime is a bar, so it's easy to play anything because there's no dance floor to clear, but at the same time, you can tell if the crowd's not vibing with it.
Every Monday you do the Dime in L.A., right?
Yeah, on Fairfax.
And how long have you been doing that?
5 years. That's celebrated 5 years.
And the Dime is like a legendary. Yes. It's like a lot. It's an iconic spot in L.A. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's like maybe, I don't know, how many people can fit
it? It's not bigger than this room.
Comfortably it's 80 to 100.
You're lying.
No, he's lying. Bro, all right. It was me, Neva, right. Cricket, myself, and we were in one corner, and I felt like we were half of the club.
I was going to say,
we were half of the club.
I was going to say 50.
They've stuffed 120 in there. That's why I said 80 is the max where it's like.
I might kill somebody if I'm in there with 100 people.
There's no AC. I think we walked through the back because we couldn't walk through the front because there's so many people.
But I think that's kind of amazing when you have a room of like 60 to 80 people because it's like you can get away with a lot more. You can create a vibe. When the vibe is up, the vibe is up.
Yeah. It's there. You're really talking to them. Like my whole style is like a whole conversation to them. So it's like a whole story being told and I can kind of go. It's a type of thing where every week is different because people ask me like, how do you play new music or different music every week? But with it being that small, it might just be at one party 1 week. It's somebody from Texas' birthday, and it's 15 of them. If it's 15 of them, that's the whole party because 15 people hype. Right. I can go Texas for 30 minutes off that.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's great. Yeah. So you've been doing it 5 years.
5 years now. Minus the pandemic, but yeah.
Minus the pandemic. Yeah. Now, I'm curious. Like, when you got the Dime in Monday, that was you reaching out to them or they reached out to you? How did that work?
So I was doing, like, once every month on, like, Fridays or Saturdays, and then one week it was about 5 years ago. I went on a Monday because my homegirl was in town from Oakland.
Yeah.
I'm like, the Dime is always open. We in there hanging out. It was like six people in the bouncer, Rob, he's a big homie. He was just like, hey, maybe we should get you on Mondays because usually it's kind of dead here. Mm. The DJ who we had just didn't show up 1 week because it's just been that dead. It's Monday.
Wow. Yeah.
To me, it made sense because Monday is like the hardest day of the week as far as gigs. So I'm usually off on a Monday. Worst case, I can have somebody else cover it. So I'm like, Monday, I ain't doing that. I don't like having Friday or Saturday because that's where my main money is at.
Yeah,
Monday's like a Saturday for industry people, too.
That, too. It's industry. Right. Everybody who...
It's very industry.
Yeah, I always joke and say people don't have real jobs in L.A. because everybody has their own schedule.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
So they come at 12:30. Like, why are you here at 12:30 and 2 o'clock? You don't want to go home yet. Only L.A. Yeah.
But it's great for a Monday party to have like a capacity of 60 to 80 people because it's like you can catch a vibe. And it's all industry, and then they'll kind of fuck with whatever direction you're gonna go.
Yeah,
you can kind of have fun with it and do whatever you want.
For sure.
You know, you're very scrappy. Like you're always hustling. Mm-hmm. Like you're always you're still doing Twitch, right? You're still trying to do like these these things on Twitter where you're like doing surveys, and then are you just constantly just coming up with topics and things of discussion to put on Twitter? That's kind of like. You're kind of like the musical Jerry Springer of Twitter.
Jerry Springer. I mean, the things just hit me a lot of times. It'll just be a debate. I might be in the car with somebody and they might mention something about, because the South was better than the East Coast in 2003. And I'm like, all right, was it? So let me go to Twitter. In 2003, who was bigger? Who had the bigger hits between this and that? And next thing you know, because everybody on Twitter is from somewhere different with different opinions, it's never just going to be 100% any direction. Even if it's 95%, that 5% is scrapping for their opinion. Yeah. So,
but you like to create narratives and trigger, like have conversations that trigger shit.
You like to poke at the trauma.
Look at, so I have kind of like a journalistic style. If you realize most of my tweets and most of what I do, it's kind of like it's surface unbiased.
Yeah.
I'll say something knowing the reaction is going to get, but I'm not putting my own opinion in there.
Right.
Yeah. I might just say, the club last night, somebody asked for this song and somebody said this. I'm not saying that's whack or that's dope. I'm just saying it. I'm going to let y'all say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's
there's,
debate.
There's like a level of insinuation, but you always leave it open. And you
leave
always,
it open.
You always play kind of dumb. Like, I don't know. I guess it could be this.
It's a good open discussion.
Make it open. Yeah.
It's a great open discussion that you're having with, with your followers and everybody else who wants to like chime in. Because I've seen some stuff, man. I think one of your tweets was a catalyst for the whole Jay-Z wasn't hotter than whomever type thing.
Probably.
And that went on for like 3 months.
You're talking about that even through Jay-Z's reign.
Yeah.
In the late 90s and the 2000s, he was never number on top one. Of the game.
Yeah, people in Alabama and Texas, I forgot, was like trying to say Jay-Z wasn't this and wasn't that. And obviously the numbers were different. I think a discussion that you had initially started kind of carried that. And then that discussion went on for like 3 months.
Yeah.
Like dead ass.
Always.
Yeah, because they were saying that DMX was killing it 2 years ago. 98,
they say it was DMX. They said 99 was Eminem. Yeah. Every year, like Jay was never the top seller, and they always say somebody was hotter.
They said Juvenile was hotter than Jay-Z at one point. Mm. Something like that.
Hot? I mean, it's one of those things you could debate.
It depends on where we're having the discussion about. If it's in the South, you know, obviously Juvenile is going to kind of clear that. But if we're talking about everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Depending on what you're talking about. I mean, 98 was one of those years. Overall, I don't care where you were at. I would say DMX is over Jay from 98. But
yeah.
As far as Juvenile, like it's one of those, depends on what you're judging it by.
Yeah. I really was annoyed when you brought up like this Mixer tweet. I think you were doing like some type of a
convention in
a convention. It was
Jersey
like,
City,
and it was like hip hop, or it was like, was it a black event? I don't even know. Was it like just hip hop?
It was NAACP. So yeah.
Sorry. You know what that is.
That's just, you know.
No, I mean, it was like it was NAACP, and then you tweeted something, and I'm paraphrasing. It was like, why would you give me an EDM 900 Pioneer mixer?
I ain't say it that way. No.
Wait. I'm paraphrasing.
Don't paraphrase it. Let me say
okay,
it.
Okay, let him say it. I have the screenshot.
Yes, so yeah, screenshot it. Finally, basically what I said was that in my writer, I asked for the S9 or S11, and that I said, as far as preferences go, usually everybody who I know who's, essentially what I was saying was that most hip hop DJs who I know do prefer the S9, S11 over the 900. Yeah. I said, the thing that you hated, I said, it's a hip hop versus EDM thing.
Yeah.
I'll say, I could have explained it differently, but what I meant from that was not that, because of course, as you said, hip hop DJs have been on the 900 forever, but the last couple of years, just from our style, most hip hop DJs who I know prefer having cue points, having the effects. Right. Is this
You're absolutely wrong.
I'm wrong about it?
Yeah.
All right.
A majority of hip hop DJs are on controllers.
Now
they're not
on
fucking have pads, though.
They're not on
they
fucking
have pads, at least.
They're not on fucking S9s. They're not on S9s.
But if they use the
majority,
mixer, I mean.
A majority of hip hop DJs are probably on controllers. They're not on S9s.
Of course.
So wait,
they're traveling, of course.
Yeah. No, that's not traveling. Any club
I mean mixer wise though.
In a hip hop most hip hop club DJs, right?
Yeah.
Are on controllers. 100%. 100%. They're not using S9s. S9 is not a club standard mixer.
I mean, you're saying,
and they would probably have more. They would probably have a controller there than a fucking S9, but more than likely they'll have a 900 there.
So most clubs have 900 more than anything else.
Yes,
because you got to think of the people who are installing. The people who are installing the equipment are coming from a club standard basis. They're not coming from, oh, this is a hip hop club. We're going to put a hip hop mixer. And the way the West Coast like club DJs are, or the West Coast Cali DJs are, S9 is the standard mixer. So I give it to you on a West Coast Cali basis. I would say yes, S9 is 100% probably the go to mixer in Cali at the time of that conversation. But I would say on a national level, it's probably the 900 or a controller.
It has to be the
hip hop too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because if you think about the S9 came out in 2015 or whatever. Prior to that, at Playhouse, at Supper Club, all these clubs, they had a 900.
Yeah. Not only that.
That's a super.
You go on the East Coast and even down South. You think they got S9s out there? So I'm telling you right now.
But
my argument was that. I was fine with whatever you said, but the fact you said it's a hip hop versus EDM thing, that's when I was like, all right, this is not good. I didn't like that narrative because to me, it's like, it creates a division.
I get it. I mean,
do you understand what I'm saying?
I get that part. Like to me, it wasn't about division. It was more so even when it comes to most DJs who I know who are hip hop DJs who are online, look on TikTok, look on anything from that level, Instagram.
Yeah.
If it's not a controller, most DJs who are cutting and scratching have an S11, S9. Yeah. Most of them do.
And mind you, those mixers only really came to existence not that long ago. compared to like a 900 type mixer.
Been forever, yeah.
The S9 is a battle mixer.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, even the sound card in it.
I mean,
it's not intended for a club. The sound card is horrible.
It's intended for Serato. 900s.
It's intended for your bedroom and for fucking.
The guy who designed it is a show. The guy that designed the S9, we all love him and we all know him.
Who's that?
He is a battle style DJ.
Turntable is, which
is Jazzy Jeff.
I thought so, right. Yeah. So with that, yeah.
It's more of a showcase piece than a performing.
Well, it utilizes the software that you're using. You're using Serato.
Everything utilizes.
No, but software. 900 is compatible with Serato. It's not made for Serato.
Made specifically for
it. No, but there's a Nexus 1 and a Nexus 2.
No, I know, but they're not made for it. It's compatible with. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a difference.
Yeah, but you could say no.
But the Serato box is inside.
That's what I'm saying. It's compatible with it. Yeah. It's a different. Okay. It's different.
It's not made specifically for it.
Yeah, it's not made specifically for Serato. Yeah.
I guess.
No. I mean,
I get what you're saying.
They have a point. They have a point, but the thing is like 900 is a standard mixer.
Right.
And then they had the Nexus 1. They started putting Serato USBs in it.
Yeah.
So the fact that you could say like, well, that's a Serato implanted to the mixer, but it's Serato based. They're you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. Yeah. But the thing that I don't like is the division. To me, I don't think any mixer is identified to any genre of music.
Right.
I think all equipment is just what it is. Equipment.
Yeah.
And it's the DJ who defines who they are by what they play. So the one thing I didn't like about what you said was I didn't like hip hop DJs all of a sudden being like, yeah, like the 900 is the EDM mixer. And then that creates this like this completely like ignorant perspective on the equipment and this whole new narrative that never existed. And that's what I did not like, because I started seeing the comments and I'm like, this is not reality. This is like a completely like bullshit narrative that makes no sense.
So the only reason
I know you didn't mean to do that,
yeah.
But I was just correcting it. And I was very calm when I did it, because I was like, look, I just want to educate motherfuckers. Like, this is not, you know what I'm saying? Hip hop or EDM mixing.
The thing is, before pandemic, like as y'all were saying, most clubs have a 900. And I remember once the S9 started really picking up steam, and that's what I loved the most. And I realized that most clubs still had the 900, even if they bought new equipment, they would buy a new 900 and not an S9. I remember asking several different club DJs and the sound men, and they always said that for LA, most of the clubs are more EDM based, and that the EDM DJs do prefer that for a channel mixer for different reasons. They said the hip hop DJs, as you said, Jeff designed that for the battle style. So a lot of us who had that style.
That's incorrect. But I believe you. They're incorrect.
Me,
they're incorrect.
Could be, yeah. I'm going off of what the sound man told me, so.
Man, they're incorrect.
Either way, I mean.
It's not an EDM mixer, bro.
I mean.
And then there's not a lot of EDM shit in fucking LA like that, man.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Now there is.
That's a whole lot.
Now there is.
When? In the 2019?
Yeah, now.
If not EDM specifically, still open format / not hip hop.
Okay, wait.
Live spots.
No. Yeah. You're talking there.
EDM spots, so even like. Where you went?
That Academy.
Was, Academy. Okay. There's Academy.
Academy, Avalon. Avalon is like that. Club, I think, is it called? Club, whatever it is.
Belasco.
Belasco, a lot of those spots. Even Exchange.
But it's Exchange, more so LA. It's more so artist EDM driven than an EDM club. There's no EDM DJ house resident there. It's more so like Dioro's having a show in LA, it's going to be at Academy.
Yeah, but that's not an EDM club. There's no EDM clubs in LA that I know of. An EDM club?
I would say that's, like EDM focused.
You're talking EDM about focus? You're talking about musical venues that have ticket sales EDM artists.
Saying like EDM, Exchange. I would say more EDM focus rather than saying EDM.
This is all venues. This whole narrative is completely changing. because you're literally saying you're going to clubs and you're saying that these are EDM. The sound guys are like, these are EDM. You know. This is what EDM DJs want.
But again, I would
say. Which I get it, but like, I still don't know these clubs. These are like.
It's changed.
These are venues.
It's changed downtown.
But again, I would say
now
that the conversation.
Or in 2018?
Now, right now.
Yeah,
now. But I'm talking about 2018.
Well, even then, no, the last 6-7 years, even before pandemic.
But now they're mostly EDM based.
No, but
look, now because the EDM is popping. EDM was not popping in fucking late 2010.
They always had some. Yeah, kind we of always had EDM. I didn't go to it.
Avalon
always
had open.
No, yeah. you guys had EDM venues.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. There was no EDM clubs.
No, not, what do you mean like clubs? Like
you mean every like, single Friday, Saturday night?
You mean like
or what?
You mean like bottle service type clubs? You mean like
well,
that?
Wait, where, or do what you mean venues like are you going to where saying. They have that equipment?
I just mentioned them. So even like, yeah, Exchange, Academy.
So you're DJing there doing a hip hop party and you're like, why do I have this EDM mixer? And they're like, well, it's EDM club.
Or were you doing a private event there?
It was always more of a private event.
Well, like a private event, yeah. The standard form of a mixer is a 900.
No, because they're saying it was a primarily EDM focused venue. So because they have a one-off event that's hip hop once a month, but five times out the week, it's usually EDM.
That's incorrect, though. It's incorrect.
I would, again, I would bring it back to mixers like the S11.
The problem, no, though.
And S9 are relatively new.
Yeah, but the problem is that, yeah, that so, no one in this room DJed before, like, DJed in clubs before 2000, what? 12?
8.
2008?
The thing yeah, is, 2008, here's the yeah. thing. No, look, Crooked.
Yo, artistic.
Crooked. Hold up. Crooked. I come from the SL1 era. I was plugging that into the 900 back in 2009.
Yeah.
I'm not a new DJ like that. So I was around doing that. I used 900 forever. Here's the funny part. I bought the 400.
So if you used it forever, yeah. why would you
distinguish it? Because that was forever ago. That's forever ago. It's different. My style's changed now.
Yeah.
The equipment has changed. We have stems now. Technology's changed. It's different. Mm. I bought the 400 because I liked the 900 back then. That was 2009, though.
Yeah.
Perfect. I bought the Pioneer 400, which was a baby 900.
Yeah.
That was a bare room 900. I bought that because I liked the 900 back then. That was back then.
But you do realize there's still 900s and A9s in every club, like open format.
No, of course. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So,
but that's what I'm saying. What you said doesn't make any sense because it's not EDM based. It's still not EDM based. They're in multiple clubs that play multiple genres of music.
Well,
you could say as a hip hop DJ that you
so,
are.
So I get that. I could have said hip hop versus everything.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like this, I get that. He's literally only it's saying semantics. Things from his perspective.
It's semantics.
It's not semantics.
I feel like it's semantics.
It's literally. No, I mean, you guys, this is
I get it.
A crazy conversation. This is an insane conversation. That's
I don't think it's that heavy. I mean, at this point, I get what she was saying. I understand what she was saying. This for me specifically. The thing is, I use 900 all the time. It's just that in that specific instance, I had a rider. I say, if it's a rider, I'm doing a 5-hour party. I want to be the most comfortable. If you have a drummer, any drummer can play with a kick drum, with a snare, a hi-hat. But if he wants to be the best he could be, he wants all his tools. That's all I was saying. So
yeah,
as far
that,
as my
that's like a drummer saying like, saying, why are you giving me rock and roll drums? I mean, I'm really like a funk and soul drummer. Are you giving me rock and roll
the placement
drums?
Is different.
All
the placement is different.
Dude, that makes no sense.
The cymbal placement might be different for that. The setup is different. So all I'm saying,
yeah, but
I get that one.
You understand
point.
What I'm saying?
I'll take back that one part about.
I come from an era where it's like, you know, like I come from an era of DJs where it's like. We work with whatever we
I
work
still
with.
Do. I always have. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about a
but
rider.
But I would never, I would never say that one thing is more EDM or house or lesser than anything. Someone puts a fucking controller on top of a S11 mixer with a CDJ, I'm not going to be like, that ain't fucking hip hop. I'd be like, yo, rock your shit out. To me, the equipment is so like, I'm not concerned with the equipment at all. It has.
I don't distinguish
any genre of music to any equipment.
I guess I think the main point is that I was not calling it an EDM mixer. I was just saying that as far as a preference, most hip hop.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's obvious. So, yeah. I'm not arguing with your preference.
I wasn't calling a 900 an EDM mixer though.
No, but I didn't. Yeah. I wasn't arguing with your preference. I was arguing with the hip hop versus EDM.
But I wasn't calling it an EDM mixer.
I know. So
if
what
it sound that way?
So
I
then,
apologize
right, so
for
then,
that.
And then, so what? Why would you put EDM versus hip hop?
As far as the DJs, the DJs who prefer it. That's all I meant.
He wanted to be
hip hop DJs who prefer.
He was like, "This is my hot take."
Go out.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's you. That's once again your perspective. I respect it, but I didn't like the narrative of what it was creating.
I mean, a lot of people do associate those mixers with EDM, though. That's all they do. Yeah. A lot of people do, man.
I mean, you could say that after the EDM boom. I mean, you can say that because that's all you can really see.
Yeah,
because, yeah.
And Crooked,
that's all it meant. Yeah.
And at a
what
point,
do you mean the EDM boom?
the 09 EDM boom.
When all right, so what other mixer should have been in the club at that time?
There was no other mixer.
No, well, what other mixer should have been in the club that had the same good sound quality? That's the problem that your generation doesn't understand is sound.
What? No.
It's true. Yeah. Because when we were coming up, sound mattered a lot more than it does now.
Oh, yeah.
So any DJ who DJs on an S9 in a big club.
No, wait.
Yeah. I would rather DJ on a 900 versus the S9.
I mean, the S9 because is garbage.
Because the sound is horrible. But that's my era of DJing where sound was important. If you go to a younger DJ even now in their 20s or so, they can't even tell the difference between a shitty MP3 and a fucking WAV file.
Because they downloaded music off of YouTube.
They got YouTube.
That's the one thing you're forgetting is that sound in the nightclub, especially with function ones and all of this shit, sound trumps fucking whatever, like effects and all of this shit.
How's the S11 sound to you?
S11 is great.
S11 is good, but it doesn't sound as good as like
the 900.
The V10?
Oh, nothing sounds like the V10.
But a lot of people were like,
A6 or A9?
But the people, have you ever seen the V10? It's like the six channels.
Yeah.
The Pioneer.
Pioneer. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that would be like, yo, that's a fucking EDM mixer. Like, why would you have that? And I'd be like, you know what? If you've ever heard it and it like, it literally makes certain songs sound better. Mm. It like literally improves the digital format.
No, that's how I feel about the A9.
The A9 is crazy.
Yeah.
But this is another factor that comes into play because it's like hip hop and all of this stuff, but sound is really an important factor of hip hop. Like a sound system back in the day. That shit was very, very, very fucking
what
important.
What I was saying about the EDM, Kirk, is because in every picture if you see an EDM DJ from 09 to whenever
to now,
it was two CDJs in the 900.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the look. Because even you have brought up in the past where you're like, when hip-hop open format DJs wanted to go the EDM route, they went to two CDJs in the 900.
Right.
Well, the problem is that, hold on.
So that's why it's
associated.
It's associated because if you look at any damn thing, you see the 900.
That's literally that's all we're saying.
No. That's not it. You guys are wrong.
What are you? No.
Wait, listen to me. You just said...
I'll tell that.
No. You guys are wrong because you guys are saying that the mixer was a part of the EDM problem. It wasn't. It was the CDJs and turntables.
That's the problem.
Wait. You're implanting that, the 900s was EDM. Well, okay. So then what should a hip-hop DJ at that time that was on turntables, what should they have used in the club that had superior sound? You couldn't use any of these battle mixers. You couldn't use like a Rain 56.
Right. The 57.
That's shit.
That's 57.
Also, you put a Rain 56 in the club for a month, the knobs are all gone. The fader it breaks. It doesn't have the durability or the build to withstand drinks being spilled, the wear and tear of a DJ that's of a club that's open multiple nights.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you right now, the 900. And this is, we had literally had an episode with Mo Jackson. We talked about it, how there is an era of DJ tech that was horrible.
Yeah.
And and that's why I say the 900 mixer was the only thing you could use.
Yeah. No, I agree with
that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. So wait. So if you agree with that and you say, well, now it's an EDM mixer, to me, I'm just like, that makes no fucking sense.
Saying that most people associate it with EDM. Yeah. And that's not even a personal opinion. That's
everybody. But the thing is that you weren't outside and hip hop DJs were using 900 mixers.
We're not saying that. We're just saying the reason why people associate the 900 to EDM is because
whenever you look at pics or you look
videos,
at any kind of media associated with that, that's what you see.
I'm asking you, what other DJ mixer?
No, that's what I'm saying.
They're agreeing with you. There was no other one.
We're agreeing with you.
But the casual fan, the casual listener, the casual
no. Why do they believe that? Because of the pictures?
Yes.
Okay. It's media.
And so it's your job to tell them that's not right.
Okay, then
it's on me now.
No. Am I wrong?
Because people were using
because 900. Wait, you're literally agreeing with me, but then you're saying, but they're saying
we're
that
talking
shit.
About
wait. 09. Yeah, no. I'm saying 09 too.
Yeah.
We was using Pioneers, 900. And we were using it all the way up to like 16. Now.
Yeah, that's probably when I started.
Wait, because the S9 is not a club DJ.
Yeah,
it's literally like no one in the nightclub, any sound guy in the nightclub would be like, there's no fucking way I'm putting the S9 in.
Yeah, they hate it.
So you're talking about almost 10 years where the 900 was the go-to mixer, and it's your job to tell people that's an EDM mixer. Nah, because
I didn't say it was an EDM mixer.
No, but you just said the people... People associate that.
Yeah.
That's why it's your responsibility to tell them, no, it's actually not. It's just like a mixer. And it was actually the standard in almost every club from hip hop to whatever. You don't double down on that and be like, yeah, that was an EDM mixer, even though I used it for hip hop for 10 years.
And he got the 400.
That's the problem that I'm talking to you guys about.
I didn't say it was an EDM mixer.
No, I'm not saying you did. I'm saying that you guys just told me everyone is associating
that.
And I'm telling you, you're not educating them.
Because they were using the 900 with two turntables at a point.
Yeah.
We were using that for years.
Yeah.
All his turntables,
Almost a decade.
Yeah, we were using four channels.
Yeah, but you're not.
For a long time.
But you're not acknowledging it to the people that are saying otherwise.
You're not educating, is what you're
saying.
You're
that's what I'm saying. That's why I felt...
If the convo ever comes up again, I will...
You'll clear it up.
I hope it don't. It just came up,
and it came up that time that we were on Twitter, and that's when I said, this is not what happened.
Yeah.
And this is not true. To everyone that said it, this is not an EDM mixer. It's a mixer. And it's actually the club standard.
If it comes back up, I will rephrase everything I've said.
My thing is you guys can come at me and be like, oh, well, a lot of EDM people use it. And they're like, but I don't agree with it. Then why the fuck ain't you saying nothing? So do you understand where people, you don't want to. Anyway, here's a question. Are you not saying anything because you don't want to be disagreeable to the majority?
That has nothing to do with it at all.
Then why?
That was 2 years ago for one.
That has nothing to do with what I just asked. Then why not? Agree and say, yeah, you're right. That is the club standard.
Well, because it's spicier to have EDM versus hip hop mixer.
I don't even think he was trying to do that. That's why
some of your tweets annoy the fuck out of me.
Because there's an absence of education
attached to some of it. I like the fact that you let it be an open forum, but I also like the fact that you can allow some education and some truth and some history seep in and sprinkle in a little bit.
What's some other ones then?
No, I mean, we've talked about this way too long.
Bring them up, because that's the only one that we really went at it at.
No,
that's
there's a couple. No, look.
What's the other ones?
The thing is this. Everything I say, I'm very open to being wrong.
Yeah.
I think I'm wrong about a ton of shit. But
I think your opinion might be not agreeable, but I don't think you're wrong. What you stand on though, Kirk, and this is what people lack of understanding, is that you don't want the history to be rewritten wrongfully from what it was in the past.
Mm-hmm. People always look at the surface on the internet. So I understand why people come at me. And I understand, they could say whatever they want and it doesn't bother me at all. You guys were like, oh man, they're going after Crooked online. It doesn't, literally.
I was still drinking your coffee.
That was the last thing I even thought about for the whole day. There was so many other catastrophes that I had to deal with. Besides motherfuckers saying I was crazy for not knowing Drew Hill Beauty. You know what I'm saying? Which I think is a great song, but
it's not a bad song.
It's not a bad song at all.
It was just not popping in New York.
But out of all the songs that came out in R&B that came out around that time.
Yeah.
If we took a span of 2 years of all the R&B and songs that came out, I mean, Drew Hill Beauty, it's pretty crazy to say that it trumps a lot of those songs that came out.
The way music has been happening, even with Can We Talk, it just shows you how certain songs age and how certain songs have different lifespans. To me, it is a crazy thing that we have all R&B parties because, as you said, previous decades, you always heard R&B, whether it's to open the night or close the night, but because it got so segmented when it comes to these bottle clubs, it's certain clubs you won't hear any R&B the whole night.
Right.
But it's kind of crazy seeing how many R&B parties it is, and it's a whole different appeal. I feel like doing an R&B party versus a hip hop party, the crowd is different and everything.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. It's weird because I think R&B parties are playing more different music. It's like maybe 50% R&B and like 50% everything else.
I actually see more complaints about
it's not being enough R&B.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, there's not enough R&B. Like, why are we hearing like City Girls or like why are we hearing Sexy Red or this shit like at an R&B party?
I've heard that because I haven't seen it because whenever I do R&B party, I'm staying 98% R&B. I might joke and like blend a hip hop beat to it. But I mean, that speaks to generation too. I feel like because most people under 30 didn't grow up on R&B the same way.
Right.
They heard it, but it was like the biggest songs the last 12 years weren't R&B songs. You had Boot Up 60 years ago. That was huge. A couple Beyonce songs, but R&B was not as dominant. So it's probably where some DJs probably do panic. They might just see the crowd and they went R&B for that long and they said, all right, let me play some Future or something to get them back going when they shouldn't have to. But I can see some DJs panicking that way. Like for me personally, I think because my R&B, I study it enough to know I can go new school or old school R&B and keep them going. But
I think it's actually the unpredictability of it. I think when something is just R&B,
no
matter what decade you're pulling the R&B from, it's still somewhat predictable.
Yeah.
So when you throw in a hip hop song out of nowhere after everyone singing the words to like some R&B karaoke, you know, banger anthem, and then all of a sudden Blow the Whistle drops or like something crazy drops, you know, like it just takes people off. And then the energy, it's a shift in energy. And it's a further tool for DJs to use and prove how they can control the crowd. Where we're like, oh, let's take this sing along energy and now let's take it to another level. That only kind of sometimes hip hop can do. You know what I mean?
For people who grew up partying to hip hop, it makes sense because, you grew up, all you know is like a lot of people just want to twerk. I always joke and say, a lot of my fans only want to twerk and sing. Either they singing along or they twerking. Nothing in between. Or dance battling. So I get it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, even when you think of like EDM. And like the way EDM kind of music and like the way the buildups and the breakdowns work, it's very similar to DJing a hip hop R&B party.
Yeah.
You need a sing along part, which is the breakdown, and then the buildup comes up. And the buildup might be the dropping of a hip hop song or just, you know, another song catching people off guard. You know, they're both relative, where it's kind of controlling the energy they're both relative because it's about controlling the energy and having peaks and valleys. You know, and if something's straight, you know, kind of monotone the way through, that can work too. That can work too sometimes. It actually, monotone energy works the best when it's a slow night. You don't necessarily
when it's slow.
When you have a slow night, a good monotone energy is like the most, probably one of the most effective things you can have.
A two-step effect.
Because it keeps it consistent.
Yeah.
Whereas like if it's slow and you're going peaks and valleys, you can lose certain people at certain times.
And then it's too much energy.
It looks crazy when you're like trying to hit a peak and everyone's just standing there. Kind of like, but if you play a little, you know, fucking Return of the Mac, that might get the whole room kind of going at the same rate. Yeah.
You were bringing up that you've been seeing R. Kelly music coming.
Yeah. So because TikTok's basically crossed over to like, you know, from like just the youth type app, there's a lot of older people on there and there's a lot of DJs on there.
Yeah.
And like, I kid you not, man, this is like 2 days ago and a couple of DJs I've seen just scrolling, they're playing R. Kelly.
Yeah.
What R. Kelly song?
Step in a Name. I heard Bump and Grind.
I saw Leg Shaking was viral maybe a year.
One of his songs was just viral like a year ago, but like like the younger generation.
Yeah.
So they didn't connect. That was like R. Kelly.
But there's a bunch of older motherfuckers that don't give a
shit. Yeah, yo. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. A lot of those cats I was seeing, they were all older people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, damn, man, that's crazy. They're still like, I don't play his shit at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck who's paying me.
No,
I'm not doing it.
I was hanging out with Boogie Blunt in New York for a little bit. And he was like talking about a party he has to do, like an R&B party, a grown and sexy party.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm probably going to have to I'm dropping a shit ton of R. Kelly. I can't. And he's like, I can't wait to drop him. And I was like, you really playing R. Kelly? And he's like, Crooked. Old black people don't care about that.
They don't.
No, they don't. They do not. I mean, they do not.
The thing is, like, just to be all the way fair, it's like, it's so many different elements to it. It's like, the thing is, a lot of them knew what he was doing the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a contradiction for them to all of a sudden think it's bad.
Have some morals.
So I would say for like my generation specifically, like when the tapes dropped, I was a teen.
Right.
So to me, I couldn't conceptualize how bad it was. Right. I was the same age as the girl was. So
I was
like,
11.
For me, it was more so us seeing it like, because the girls in my high school class had older boyfriends. So to me, I saw the older dude as being nasty, but I also saw it as, well, these teen girls, that's what they like anyway. The older I get, when I hit 28, 29, it's like, 15-year-old girl is fucking disgusting.
Hindsight's a motherfucker.
So hindsight made me see it a lot different. So then when you get older and realize, you know, what it was exactly, it's like, it hit different. And then when you do see, like, a lot of folks say, oh, you only stopped playing them because of the documentary. That's a big-ass documentary.
Right.
That documentary exposes everything, and it makes you see it different when you see the pain and how it affected people personally versus this kind of, because it was a joke. I mean, we all laughed at Dave Chappelle. Yeah. We all thought Piss on You was hilarious because it was.
Right.
We all thought it was funny, but that wouldn't fly now because we actually realized that he was really urinating on 15-year-old girls. It's different. It hit different when you get older. Like
our generation holds a lot more people and artists accountable about things.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, if somebody does some shit, especially what the R. Kelly shit was, the tape was like 20 years ago or some shit now.
At this point, it was 21, 22 years ago. That's crazy. Yeah. 23 even. Yeah.
It was 01.
That is still more recent. So they're going to be like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
Versus like, you know, whatever like Rick James and them were doing Marvin back Gaye in the day. Yeah, because it's so far removed from that era. You know, the R. Kelly thing is still recent. So,
and it's visual proof.
And it's visual proof about shit.
So in the future, when it, like, let's say in society, it becomes way more acceptable to play R. Kelly, you guys are still going to refuse to play it?
It's technically acceptable now.
It's acceptable now.
It's not technically acceptable now.
No,
it's questionable. It's questionable now.
A lot of people are requesting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that's still a minority compared to the majority of a room.
I think so hard to say because here's the thing. I've been to parties that played it.
Right.
So I remember when the documentary first came out, I was with Kingway. We were at Academy. And he had a DJ who was actually a white DJ who played It Was Wonderful with Ja Rule. So when he first, it was crazy. When he first played it, the crowd was kind of vibing and kind of dancing. Like they didn't even care. But then Kenway was like, hey, no, we don't play R. Kelly. And then the crowd started booing the DJ. Like, yeah, we don't play him. I'm like, y'all are just singing it. But since then, I've seen DJs play it. And most crowds, the DJ knows the crowd enough to know that it's going to work.
Right.
For me, I know my audience. I know my audience, even if I did want to play it, but I don't play him. Even if I've had requests for him, I told people no. And somebody told me, man, we don't care what he's going through. And I was like, what you mean what he's going through?
See,
you know?
See, what you're talking about is different from what I'm talking about. I think public opinion on the reputation of the DJ who's known for playing R. Kelly is not acceptable.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Playing it in a room and it working, that's, you know, that's a toss up.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm saying if I was to tweet, I'm in a club, Tech is playing R. Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Twitter going to be on your
head. I'm fucking disgusted.
That's Twitter, though.
Yeah.
It is Twitter.
The majority opinion on that would be, let's cancel Spider Tech.
Dead ass.
Yeah. He doesn't care about black women. Yeah. He doesn't care about women in general.
I heard. Right.
You understand?
Yeah. My homegirl said he tried to, you know.
That's why I say no matter who's playing it, right? Or how it works or how effective it is in a room, it has nothing to do with the majority perspective.
But if you tweet, I'm in a room, Spider Tech drop R. Kelly, and it fucking blew the roof off, half of the DJs that follow you are going to be like, oh shit, it's good
or,
to go.
Or it could go viral and people could say that's disgusting that he's doing that.
Yeah. So it's a toss up.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Definitely never.
And that's what I'm saying is like if you have sponsors, you're a big DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you play R. Kelly and people hear it, you there's a possibility you might lose your sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying is that it's not widely accepted.
No.
It's not acceptable.
No, but you have a lot of DJs. Yeah. Online talking about I play it and what type
some
stuff.
Of them brag about it
like that video you guys posted on you guys posted on IG
but that video posted, did, but that video see everyone kind of mistook that video
they did
because it was a video of what music do you miss playing and everyone heard everyone say R. Kelly and they were like y'all playing R. Kelly and I'm like no these people are not these DJs are not playing R. Kelly
right
yeah.
But they're just saying
they miss playing his song.
I mean, they know the music.
Yeah, but that post
and they miss playing that music.
Had DJs had the DJs that come
comments
out into them comments talking about I play R. Kelly and what?
Right.
Who gives a shit?
I seen a party in L.A. I don't know where exactly, but I seen them drop Hotel with Cassidy featuring R. Kelly, and that fucking place erupted. And I was like,
Yeah, but but that's the thing, that's a lot of the DJs that were commenting, I still play this or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would say a majority, not all of them, a majority of those DJs are not
big, major.
At that level.
I get they're not large public figures.
Somebody who's a huge figure wouldn't comment that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even you know if they did play, they wouldn't say it on IG.
If I'm a local DJ with under 1,000 followers, I basically can say whatever the fuck I want.
That's true.
How dead ass that
is. You know what I'm saying? Jeff and D-Nice ain't saying that. Skrillex ain't saying that.
When Jeff, like, if any of the big time DJs, they love seeing these videos because all they do is put an emoji. Like,
that's it.
They ain't gonna say nothing, or they might type in, wow.
Interesting, or who the fuck are you?
I think there needs to be an understanding, and I think it's still fresh right now, but I think probably in the years to come there's going to be an understanding of separating the music from the artist. Just like you said, because the thing is, like, time tells everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why is, you know, and why is Rick James and why is, like,
right.
Shit, bro.
But he wasn't canceled back then.
Wait.
But the whole thing is, like, you know, even Diddy, right?
Even if I
speak about Diddy right now, right? It's hard to play Diddy songs right now.
Yep. Yeah.
You've actually artistic. You've done events with Diddy.
Yeah.
You've done some, like, high profile events with Diddy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a part of me that wants to ask, you know, have you seen some, you know, oddly freakish shit?
So here,
you know?
Here's what I can say about Diddy parties. So
yeah.
I did. He hit me up, you know, for a couple parties. I couldn't do one or two of them.
How did he hear about you, by the way? I'm curious.
From Issa Rae. Issa Rae is, of course, the goddess that she is. You know, she always put me on with everybody. So yeah.
And you've been doing Issa Rae events forever.
For 10 years now. Yeah. So when she was basically fresh off YouTube, still trying to figure out that HBO deal. So
yeah.
It's been that way. So it was one party she had Juneteenth when I was in Chicago. I couldn't come back and do it. And then the next party he had, she told him, like, yeah, get artistic. So she's that type.
That's
so
dope.
So she put me on with that. So with that one, the thing about that Diddy party is, so just me going into it, I'm doing Diddy party. So I get there, it's daytime, it's a backyard thing. It's all the way in Malibu. So he has Ciroc sponsored everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a legit kind of family type thing. His mom is there, Drake is there, but his dad is there too. Diddy's kids are there, his daughters are there, you know, Justin, you know, King Combs. So it was just a big party. Tiana Taylor, just a lot of celebrities were there. Chris Brown came through. So I'm DJing, playing a little bit of everything. He likes the old school music I'm playing.
Yeah.
Play a little bit of West Coast. I obviously ain't playing no Hit 'Em Up type stuff, but I play some Snoop because they all cool. So around like 10 something, I know that the... it got shut down basically from supposedly, I guess, the police or fire marshal, somebody came shut it down. It's all in the backyard. So at that point, I'm like, all right, I guess it's over, but I'm just kind of waiting around for them to give me a signal for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I started hearing people kind of whisper, all right, so they're going to Club Love now. I'm like, what's Club Love? So we all in the backyard still. As I'm saying, it's a pool right here. It was food, all that. So I could tell it's just a lot of, like, I'm not gonna call them groupies, but just women who love to be in the party scene. We're all inside, just kind of lingering around, and I'm like,
industry
types. Yeah, the ones who I saw there, who I did know personally, either are really industry, like publicists, or the ones who are, you know, aspiring to be in the industry, whatever direction. So after like 20, 30 minutes, I'm just like, all right, so what's up with this Club Love type deal? So my homegirl who was there, Aisha Irene, she was like, yeah, for Club Love, you have to get like permission to go in. So I'm like, where is Club Love? They're like, it's his house. You get past the gate, he has a house, a mansion. That's where we were, inside the mansion and behind that. But Club Love is a separate, like, building attached to the house that's separate. It's like a separate club in the lot of his house. So I'm texting, like, you know, the people who hired me, who I spoke to, like, hey, can I get into Club Love? No response. I'm like, okay, I just DJed the whole party, but I can't get into the after party in the same yard. Like, what is this about? So I just walk over there. Me and my boy Billy walk over.
You know, I just want to say I've never heard a name like Club Love sound so eerie and scary. Like, you would think, like, the name Club Love would be like, oh my
Everybody
god.
Everybody just in, you know,
like, come to Club Love. But the more you say it, I'm like, oh my god, this sounds really
a whole different context now.
Sounds really scary. I had no idea. So I know one of my boys was DJing at.
Yeah.
And he's the homie, but certain stuff, if I text him, he'll text back the next day, damn, I missed it. You ain't missed it, but, you know, it's all good. But so me and my boy woke up. They're just like, yeah, you have permission? And I was like, I don't know if it was a band, whatever it was, I need it. I was like, well, I just DJed the whole party. They're like, yeah, you have permission. I'm like, I guess not. So it to me, it is weird. Like, I did the whole party for y'all, but I can't go to the after party in the same thing. So my boy, who was actually he basically has a modeling like troupe, or essentially he provides women for like the videos. So he was there.
Yeah.
He walks up with like 10 girls. So of course they let the girls in, but then security kind of bumps him out the way, and he was like, "Hold up!" They start going at it. He's like, "Nah, homie, like I'm the one who brought all the chicks here. Like you letting me in? You know, I'm blank blank." Security's going at it with him. Eventually they let him in. Me and my boy was just like, you know what? They can have it. Let's go home. You know, I'm not even tripping. So it's funny that people inside the house area are trying to get in. We leave outside the gate. It's 200 more people just trying to get inside the gate. So wow. It's like, it's too much going on. I'm like, I doubt we missing anything for real. So all that to say, I never saw anything with my
own. You doubt you was missing anything for real?
I mean, look, maybe I was.
Hey, thank God for that, because you're not going to be subpoenaed for anything right now.
Yeah, so all I saw was like Diddy Mom dancing with the fur coat on. Like it was a real family environment.
So that's where the love shit came out for Diddy. Remember, he was pushing, I'm loved now.
Yeah.
It was club love.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, so that, I ain't hear about anything crazy happening, but I just thought it was wild. Like, how do you have a club inside of your house that people inside your house can't get into? That's just wild to me. But
That's crazy. When was the last time you did a Diddy event?
It's been was like 01. He hit me up.
01?
Not 01. 21.
Oh, okay. I was like,
2021. I'm tripping. I was in high school. Nah, 2021. And then he did hit me up. Like, he DM'd me maybe a year and a half ago, Halloween.
Yeah.
The time he dressed up as Joker, he hit me up, but I was in Florida for FAMU Homecoming. All my friends was like, "You stupid, you ain't going back for Diddy Party." But FAMU Homecoming, they hired me for 3 parties that day. That's my actual folks. I'm like, I'm not going to fly, cancel on them. I'm like, it's going to be more of them, and maybe it will, maybe it won't.
Man.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of people that have worked with Diddy and attended some of his parties have deleted or archived, whatever, a lot of their posts on Instagram because they don't want to be affiliated to a lot of that shit.
Well, here's the shit is that I heard somewhere he's like, well, if I go down, all these motherfuckers that I know that are part of this shit are going to go down. Mm-hmm. So are we going to lose all these songs from all of these motherfuckers that were like co-conspirators and part of this? Is this going to be like a RICO event or some shit?
Somebody called it a Freako. It's a Freako.
Wait
a minute.
The freak out.
But this is what I'm saying is that there's going to be a point where like everybody's just going to be, you know, deemed like a vile human being or unacceptable to the standards of regular people. And the thing is like we have to separate the music and the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's...
To a certain degree.
It's tricky.
I think, like you said, time... Yeah. Is the teller of all truths.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we'll see what happens in 5-10 years.
In the,
you know,
the next generation over.
Right.
Yeah, because I feel like the thing is, like, R. Kelly is not the only deviant we've had, but I feel like the difference is that for one, he's got exposed at different levels from the videos to documentaries. Because like on the flip side, like Mystical, most people know that Mystical has done what he did. You know, as far as rape goes, which is like the highest
level. I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah.
That kind of comes to the point, though.
Yeah,
that's crazy that you didn't even know about it.
Yeah, he got locked up for the first time, and then he got let out, and then he got put back in for the same shit again.
Yeah. And that's Mystical. So the thing is,
I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
It's crazy that because Mystical's not as big as R. Kelly, and because also I think the difference is that R. Kelly sings about it. So it's like when Mystical talking about like Danger kind of does sound crazy.
No, in that bro. Context. The first line on Shake Your Ass is I came in with my dick in my hand.
That's kind of
yeah.
He said some creepy stuff too, but R. Kelly is like blatantly like think about this.
He was writing
my mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes. Yeah, why's your mind saying no? Is she legal? Why?
Right.
Like, but happy people doesn't have anything like that.
It doesn't. See, you're right. So some folks go that way. Some folks
the name actually, of love.
Some folks don't mind the stepping songs, but they don't like his issues.
Nah, bro.
Songs,
and then he was. Then
I believe I could fly. You know.
And then he called himself the Pied Piper. He's wearing a mask and shit. Like the whole history into behind it, that. Yeah.
The Pied Piper
used to like you know.
Yeah.
Link.
He used to play kids, play the flute to bring in the kids and shit.
Yeah.
Like, so,
he was
blatantly
trolling us in person. Like,
I feel like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's got to be a point where we separate the artist and the music. There's got to be.
I mean,
they
did that with Chris Brown. So, but I mean, two different.
There's so many questionable things.
That's that PR working.
Yeah.
PR on top. I mean,
But one is, you know, I mean, both things are not right.
Yeah.
But if you really weigh in it, yes, one is probably way worse than the other one.
It's levels to it. Then it's to me with R. Kelly too, he kept getting away with things.
And like, he doubled down.
95 was him and Aaliyah. Then 02 was the tape. And it's just, it keeps on happening.
And then he didn't get caught up to like 2022.
Yeah.
No, so he got 20 caught years up back after. Then. No, he got caught up then.
He got caught up, but he didn't go to jail for
it. But he didn't go to jail.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
When R. Kelly dies, you think it's done then? We could start playing his music? Or how do you feel?
What if all the proceeds go to the victims?
Somebody mentioned that too. They said if the proceeds go to the victims, people might have an excuse to play it. I still ain't going to play it, but I mean, some people might feel more justified.
I feel like, you know, what I said with the Rick James shit, I feel like maybe the generation after, not, what's the generation? Was it Generation Z?
Alpha. Z is after us.
And then the ones after
Alpha's
that.
After them.
Yeah, so I think maybe like Alpha generation, they'll probably play it.
I mean, bro, if you really want to split hairs, Elvis was with homegirl.
I don't play Elvis.
No,
Elvis.
Yeah.
And he's like still an iconic.
What they say about the fucking man, John Wayne.
Here's the funny thing of what you're saying is that people during the 70s and 80s knew what the fuck was going on. They started and they were still playing that shit.
Wait.
50s and
60s. Way different.
Okay, what I'm saying, people knew about things back then.
Wait, you're saying Rick James was way different?
No. What I'm trying to say is that the way that people consume news was completely different. It wasn't in your face 24/7 type thing. The way news is now, bro, we get news everywhere. We get news on our phones. We go into apps, we get the news there. You know, we hear about some fucking news everywhere, bro. So it's a lot different than like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, where they would read about it in the newspaper or, you know, a real quick blurb on the TV. So it's an entirely different context in the way people consume or really digested that type of news.
I agree and I disagree. Okay. I think you're right, but I think the public's opinion is way louder on social media.
Yeah.
Than social media makes a difference. So
so that the involvement of the public opinion being amplified on social media, you know, that for celebrities is like a jaunting experience.
Yeah.
Because when you're used to getting millions and billions amount of love, and then all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of people are like, you know, trying to cancel you and destroy your whole legacy.
Yeah.
I think that's the scariest thing for these whatever.
Word.
These artists or celebrities that are having to go through it.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have really heard that at all.
Right.
In the 80s or 70s. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's a combination. It's everything with that along with just morality evolving throughout the decades. Because, I mean, even in the 80s, they said 80s and 90s that it was just common thing.
A lot of shit.
Everything from like, because Rick James was just a joke. It was just like, ha ha, he hit it with a crack pipe type deal. Or even when it came to like R. Kelly back then, like people told me, well, my mama had a boyfriend who was 30 when she was 15. It was just accepted more too. So it's everything combined. It's like
there's a lot more accountability.
Too, accountability plus Me Too plus social media is just the perfect storm for cancellation.
Yeah.
I think it's tough because I think I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's not a sustainable argument because of time. That's the thing. It's like it feels fresh now and it's involved. And the thing is the majority of everybody, like you said, the majority of public opinion is that this is wrong. So even if we were to say this is right, we can't really do it and like try to like destroy our careers and saying, you know, this is actually, I disagree with that. Because it's like, yo, how could you do that? They could literally take a clip and post it and destroy your whole career.
Right.
Mm. So I think at some point, you know, like we're going to have to understand that the music's going to be there and people are going to play it. And there's going to be a generation of people that don't care about it.
Yeah.
As much.
And
I always say this. Yeah, I think what Rick James did was one of the most vile things. He held a woman hostage and fucking raped her, tortured her and everything like that. And you know, but it's okay to play fucking super freak
super
right now.
Freak.
Right.
Kind of crazy.
Or Give It To Me, Baby. Or Mary Jane.
Kind of crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, you know, Artistic, Spider Tech, it's so good to have you guys here on the show. Yes, Artistic, sir. I'm glad we could sit down and
for sure.
And just talk and, you know.
In person.
Finally.
Go at it in person.
But you know what? Like, I know we disagree and we get into it and everything, but it's like, it's really great to have you here and to like just shoot the shit with you and talk shit with you. And Spider Tech, thanks for sitting with us and everything like that. Yeah.
Appreciate
it. I just want to let you know, like, despite all our disagreements, I'm actually like one of your biggest fans. And I love what you do. I love what you've built. you know, on your own, and where your career is at right now. And I'm just really, when I see you shining and doing the private events and doing what you do and seeing clips of your recap videos. No, even when I see your Twitch clips and everything like that, you know, I'm just saying, like, I just love where you're going with it. And I feel like you really did it your way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, yeah. It's great to have you here, brother. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm a very, very big fan of yours only because I've known you so damn long.
It's been forever.
So, like, to see that journey, and even when you were, even when you were doing, like, the message boards on OK Player, it's still, the way that you approach and the way you talk about music is very nerdy because everybody was nerdy on there and really passionate about music.
Yeah.
You carry that in a way into now. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you bother to educate people about the music that you love and appreciate and the nuances of it all is really, really great and really important. Yeah. I
appreciate you for that.
Yeah. So.
I feel the same way like these two gentlemen just said, but just to close this out, just don't ever say everyday people is from LA again.
I genuinely thought it was. The thing is, I watched the episode when I'm on here, and whatever, you know, when you're driving, you hear stuff. I heard him saying something about when he started in LA. I probably heard him say, when I started in LA, meaning the LA version of
it.
Yes. That's fine.
But but I know that's New York.
I'm going to go down for my boy. All right. Saying that.
Whoa.
Oh, wait a minute. Pause it.
Yeah. Club love. Hashtag.
Welcome to Club Love. And what we're trying to say, artistic, is you're invited to our club anytime. So just
the bouncer won't even stop.
The bouncer's not gonna stop me. He ain't gonna search me.
You're gonna put the red carpet on.
No, it's appreciated. Thank y'all for having me on here. Yeah. It's my favorite podcast. Always listening. I'll be playing it in the car, and I'll be talking to y'all in the car. Like, oh, man, how you gonna say that? But y'all can't hear me, obviously. So that's the way it is. So, yeah.
If you lived in Vegas, I would actually have you like on like way more often.
He's like, man, I would have artistic on a heartbeat. Yeah. Episodes.
I just need someone else that was around at the time outside as like
the mediator,
as me, because now I sound crazy. These guys are like, no, no.
Crooked, what are you talking about? Gen X millennial beef all the time.
What are they saying? All right.
No, I appreciate y'all for having me on here.
Shout out to Artistic. Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
Appreciate y'all. All the time.
Thanks for tuning into the Road Podcast. Don't forget, every Wednesday we have new episodes on all major streaming platforms, and every Thursday the video versions go up on our YouTube page. Please subscribe to our channel, youtube.com/roadpodcast, and to find exclusive clips of the pod, please visit youtube.com/djcity, and we'll see you next Wednesday.